Sunday, June 14th, Flag Day, we awoke to read all about Linda's adventures in the islands. We'd later read that the Arizona Memorial in Pearl Harbor and the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific at Punch Bowl, how well I remember that dramatic spot. Then the Lieutenant Governor had taken her to St. Andrew's Episcopal Cathedral. Then it was a day of island hopping for the visit to Cawley Island, beginning 4 days of swimming, deep sea fishing, and sightseeing. Saturday night, she'd been to the Polynesian Cultural Center and watched a performance of Polynesian dancing and singing, and there was a delightful picture of her, almost 6 feet tall, leading by the hand a little person named Kamehameha Kimimetete, age 4, clad in a grass skirt. It sounded in her papers like her speech had gone rather well. She spoke of the new generation, our generation. Ours is a new idealism that places great emphasis on practical action. She told me on the phone that the crowd was rather disappointingly small for the speech, but that the sessions of talking were bright and good. We went to National City Christian Church with the Hodges, Secretary of Commerce and Martha Hodges, and with the Udalls. And it was so very hot, I couldn't feel the least bit sorry about having taken Lyndon before to St. Mark's. After the service, we went to the pool. Once more, I didn't swim, but Martha and I walked around the grounds with Doris, leaving the lively Lee Udall in the pool with Stuart, Lyndon, and Secretary Hodges. It's a happy thing to me how much I have come to like President Kennedy's cabinet. One by one, I have come to feel rather close to and very admiring of them, particularly, of course, the McNamaras. At lunch, the talk was about the great cross-country highway system, 90% of which is paid for by the federal government and only 10% by the state governments. And one of the big problems has been when you draw a straight line across the country, which is the way a cost-conscious engineer would do it, what do you do about a national park or a wildlife preserve, or an historic shrine like the Frank Lloyd Wright House? If you go around them, you may spend millions of dollars. If you go through them, you may grossly sacrifice a national treasure. Secretary Hodges has ruled that every such case has to be decided on its merits, that there can't be any overall blanket policy that covers everything. And of course, the Department of Interior, with the young and imaginative Stuart Udall at his head, is a loud voice for preserving the wilderness, the national parks, the shrines, many of the jewels of America. The talk also was about Stuart's grandparents and Lee's grandparents. They are both Mormons, and I couldn't help but wonder what it felt like to them to be in the National City Christian Church. And their grandparents were polygamists. They talk in a detached but respectful way of the part the church has played in American life and history. Mrs. Udall is going to spend her vacation with her 6 children in a station wagon, and 1 child is bringing along a friend. They'll put the luggage in a rack on top, and they're going several thousand miles from one national park to another, all across the Northwest, the Tetons, great mountains and forests of that part of our country, with sleeping bags. She's done it already several years. What a pioneer spirit that. I take my hat off to her. They left shortly after lunch, and we lay down for a nap. And then, about 3:30, a series of TV shows. First, Scranton saying why he has now decided to run, ending a week-long comedy of errors, which included a visit by Scranton to President Eisenhower at Gettysburg. A general feeling, correct or not, that meant that Scranton was going to have his backing for getting into the race. A reversal the next day in the paper that didn't mean to say anything against Goldwater's candidacy. The gathering of the Republican governors at the convention in Cleveland, which wound up with the feeling that Goldwater practically had it in the bag. Some last-ditch stories about the possibility of Romney. And finally, the clear declaration of Scranton that he was going to run. Watching TV was interspersed with talking with Lyndon, who faces the next 5 months with a feeling chiefly, I believe, that I wish there was some honorable way out of it. With Vietnam and Laos and Cyprus, with the summer's turmoil that faces us if civil rights passes, including the public accommodations portion, And worse, the boiling over if civil rights doesn't pass. Will it be months or years before this change is absorbed into our society, and whose hand is wise enough and whose head and heart to guide it? How can anybody blame him for wanting to be anonymous, alone, and back at the ranch? And yet, caught at this pinpoint in history, what exit is there? Finally, we got dressed and went over to Decatur House, walking across Lafayette Park, to Angie and Robin Duke's party, a dinner dance, very informal, they said, and there were the most attractive people in Washington and around. Decatur House itself, forbidding dark red brick from the outside, is handsomely done inside, and the garden was bright, striped tents and balloons, only about a 95-degree temperature. The youngest and gayest and wittiest and most articulate were present. Adlai Stevenson, Marietta Tree, the Bill Blairs, the young Jim Symington's, Lord and Lady Harlech from the Diplomatic Corps, the Ambassador of Turkey, and Mrs.